17 years ago, a guy from Texas saw that old building and said, "This will be perfect." I stood out there and I said, "I wonder if anybody will show up." Invited, went out door to door for weeks and months beforehand, but I wasn't alone. There were five of us, amen? Actually, six of us, I'm sorry. Little Joshua was just, at that point, he was about 9 months old. And we had our first Sunday at the old TA Hall in Blarney. You know, the place didn't matter. It was who showed up. And we had two visitors, but we had one other unseen visitor. His name was Jesus. And he's never left us. He's never forsaken us. And you're looking at the proof of it still here today. Now, I want to talk about some memories. And I want to talk about passing on more than memories. Because after 17 years as a church, there's some things we need to be doing besides just talking about years ago. Sometimes we talk about the old building. We talk about how it had an atmosphere. Yes, it was cold, but there was something there, but we can't live there. We're here now. There's something about those memories that are precious and wonderful, but honestly, as we pass on those memories and pass on the joy that was there to our children, to the next generation, we need to pass on more than the memories, because memories fade. There's some other things that don't fade that I want to talk to you this morning about. If you will, take your Bible, turn to Psalm 145 and verse 4. Psalm 145 and verse 4. And again, let me say I am just absolutely honored for you to be here with us this morning. My heart's desire is to be a blessing, to be a help. But you gotta pay attention here. The Word of God is what does the work. I'm going to do my best to preach, but you need to let the Holy Spirit work this morning. And He'll work through His Word. Psalm 145 and verse 4. I love this verse. One generation shall praise thy works, speaking to God, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. How's the next generation going to hear about what we know, about what we've experienced? Only if we tell them. Now, as we go, I'm going to actually ask you now to turn to Psalm 78, because Psalm 78, just a few pages back, King David is sitting down and he can't even write. Normally he writes his own psalms. He writes his own music and writes the stories in the psalms. But this time he has a recorder, a secretary, who's taking down dictation. His name is Asaph, and he's writing what David is saying. And David is there, he's dictating this psalm. Really, as you read it, he's concerned that as the years go by, the next generation is moving on without remembering some very important things from the past. He says there in verse 1, "Give ear, O my people, to my law." These aren't my opinions. This is not what I feel like. This is something that is absolute. "Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, hard sayings, things that you just don't get the first time. You got to listen to them over and over, which we have heard and known." And guess what? Our fathers have told us. "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done." David has written many of the Psalms for his children, and that the nation of Israel would never forget where they came from. And they would never forget how they got where they were. Because it's never by accident. David has so many memories of God's hand in his life. Just the highlights of his life would make one page, where he remembers being called of God as a teenager to be king of Israel. He remembers that great day. He remembers where God gave him the victory over a 12-foot giant named Goliath with a little slingshot. He remembers where God protected him from King Saul's attacks, not once or twice, but for 7 long years. He remembers God was with him. He remembers the precious memories of God, making him the greatest king of all times. No, he wasn't the smartest. That was Solomon's position. No, he wasn't the strongest. But David was the greatest king Israel ever had. And God did it. And he remembers not just about his own experiences, but how that God had always been working in Israel. All the way back to Abraham and then through Moses when God defeated Pharaoh, an emperor of the world empire of Egypt. And God just, without an army, defeated that man. Defeated the iron grip that Pharaoh had. David had so many memories. But he realized he had a great responsibility to pass on those memories. And not just to tell his children and children's children and tell the people what it was like back in the old days. But he wanted to give them an awe about God. Because memories don't do anything for you. But when you sit and you hear and you start to believe that that God who was there for grandpa, when the God who was there for daddy is there for you, it all of a sudden begins to give you an awe and give you an appreciation that the same God wants to do something in your life. So he cries out this psalm. He says, give ear, O my people. I got something to say. As a matter of fact, he says, I got lots of things to say. Amen. And he says, I'll open my mouth in a parable. Jesus taught in parables, didn't he? Parable is something, it's a lesson that you must learn. And it's not something you just pick up, you know, spoon fed it. It's taught, and then you got to go away and think about it and question it and look at it from different angles and go, aha, that's a parable. David says, these are the things that our fathers have told us, and now we've decided we will not hide them from our children, and we want to show the generation to come, yes, the praises of the Lord, but we want to show them the mighty works, his strength that he has done. Let's listen. Let's listen here as he teaches this morning how we have to pass on more than memories to the next generation. Father, please bless this message to your people this morning, to every person. God, 31 years ago, I asked Jesus to save my lost soul. I was raised in a good home. I went to church, prayed loads of prayers, but I wasn't saved. I was not your child. I was still a child of the devil because of my pride and my self-righteousness, my religion. I was not surrendered. I did not ever think that I was the problem. And then I needed to repent. And then because of some faithful soul winner, invite me out to church, showing me from the Bible that Jesus said, you must be born again. I started to learn and listen. And then the Holy Spirit of God gripped my heart, convinced me that I was lost. Lord, I asked you to save my lost soul, and you did. And I've never been the same. I've never regretted one thing that you've ever done in my life since then. Lord, I want to pass that on to my children. I want my children to know the God that is there. He didn't die out 2,000 years ago. He's not old-fashioned. He didn't pass out with the fads. God, you're the great I am. You are always and always will be. Lord, we want to pass that on to the next generation. These 17 years have a lot of memories, but we want to make some new ones, and we want the God who made our memories to continue to make precious, miraculous memories for our children's sake and for this generation that is coming up that needs God. So help this church to be faithful. Help us to hear your word this morning. Help us to be changed. Let somebody know that Jesus loves them enough to have taken their place on the cross so they could be forgiven. But they're not forgiven automatically. They've got to ask. They've got to yield. They've got to surrender. They've got to want to be different. I pray they would want it by faith in Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A little bit of background, I've already started there, but let's read it again because I want to say by way of background that there are more than just memories in life. David says, give ear, O my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And I will open my mouth, not just in memories. I'm not just going to go over what it was like when I was a child. I remember sitting, my great-grandmother died at 98 years old, I believe. I can't remember if it's 97 or 98. And for the last 5 years of her life, she stayed in a nursing home. But before that, she had her own house. And my great-grandmother, by the way, her name was Craig, great-grandma Craig. That's where I got my name from. But she was an amazing woman. She'd been through, she was born in 18-something. And she had so much history. And I would sit at her feet and listen to that history. And she would tell me things. And I love listening to my great-grandmother. But David here is not just talking and reminiscing. He says, I've got a parable to teach you. I've got something for you to learn that I learned. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. So there are more than just memories. And really, I love memories. I can't believe how much I've been allowed to do. I think I'm on a... You talk about the luck of the Irish. You're looking at the luck of the Texan here. God has been very good to me. I've been allowed to experience more things than should be legal. God's been very good to me. I have an innumerable number of good memories from the past 48 years of my life. And for 31 years of it, God has been my Savior and my Lord. And He's made absolutely every memory sweet. But too many people only have bad memories. They just think about all of the things that have been a disaster. And they forget God makes them sweet. Jesus' cross satisfies even the worst day because you realize that's the love of God for somebody like you. But there are lessons to learn. There's more than just memories here. And there's more than just one generation to worry about. He says, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. We're too into praising one another. I'm very grateful for so many different people who worked very hard to make something like our day on a Sunday go smoothly. People who work and just making a cup of tea, setting up. When we're through, everybody heads out the door and there's a crew that helps pick up and moves everything into the other room. This is just a blessing to me. But, you know, praising one another only goes so far. Our purpose and the reason why we were saved was to praise God. He said, we want to show the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. Our parents tried to teach us some things. Our grandparents tried to warn us. We need to see life is not about ourselves. Almost all of advertising is about yourself, isn't it? It's all about what you should have, what clothes you should wear, what cereal you should eat. Almost all relationships and activities are about what you get out of it, not what is important about others and important for others. Do you know church is about families? Church is about generations of families. And it's about the passing on of truth and memories and the joy that we have from generation to generation. I've been here 17 years. Some of you have been here a long time. Some of you have been here 16, 15 years. We've got something to pass on, folks. We may not have any money. As a matter of fact, in this modern day, the only thing that people are passing on to the next generation is debt. That's what people are passing on to their kids. A lot of parents are passing on bad attitudes. What you say at home, what you say in the car, is being picked up by the next generation. What they watch on television is being picked up. You better ask yourself, what are we passing on to the next generation? There's more than just memories. More than just your and my generation. The next generation needs to know something. What good is church if it fades and the fashion of it and the excitement of it is only for Pastor Craig and his generation? That's not why I'm here. I'm not here to have a good time. I'm here to help you know God, love God, and enjoy God for the rest of your life. What's good for me is good for you. God didn't pick up some goody-two-shoes and say, now wind them up and send me in one direction. No, He had to save a lost sinner like me, fix me up, and call me to do something I couldn't do so that you could learn that God can do anything with anyone. Amen. We as a church must affect our generation and the generations to come for right. People are losing every grip on right and wrong. They've lost their grip on moralities. Nobody wants to hear about morality. They don't want to hear it's not right to be living together without marriage. They don't want to hear that it's not right for 14-year-olds to have a can of beer after the leaving cert or the junior cert. They don't want to hear that it's not right for guys and girls 14, 15 years old to be kissing. They don't want to hear morality anymore. Well, guess what? I'm going to keep it up. Amen. I'm going to keep it up. Because the first person I ever kissed was my wife when we got married on the altar. You say, you're weird. Glad to be weird. Amen. Amen. You can wait. And it's worth the wait, by the way. Amen. Now, I'm not saying you have to be perfect, but I'm going to preach that God says some things that was good for me, and it's good for you too. Amen. You want to do it and destroy your life? It's a free country. Go ahead. Go ahead. I do funerals. Amen. But I'd rather not. I'd rather help you. Amen. I'd rather help you. More than ever, we need as a church to be a bright light in an ever-darkening world around us. Everybody's worried about the economy. You better worry about your kids. You better worry about your husband. You better worry about your wife. You better worry about this community. You know, have you seen the Garda station down here in Ballincollig? You see how big it is? I wonder what they expect. Think about it. Do you know what I said it last yesterday to my wife? We're driving along and I was looking at the size of that thing. And I say, you know what? You close down more churches. You put down preaching. You don't put the Bible out. You have to be a builder. You have to build bigger jails. You start more churches, you preach more of the gospel, you get that Bible into people's hands, the jails will go out of business. Amen. Amen. We've got something to pass on. Why is it important? Why work so hard to make sure the next generation knows what we know? Look at verse 5. Still in Psalm 78, verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob. He, God, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded to our fathers that they should make them known to their children. What? What do they need to make known? Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare to their children, watch verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. You know what? We can talk all day about the Bible, but if you don't see me having hope, if I can't pass on, if I can't preach hope to the next generation, it's lost. They need to know that there's hope. Reason why I get up here every Sunday to preach, I don't sit there. I'm not here mad on purpose just because I feel bad or I'm just wanting to beat somebody up. I get this way because I want you to know there's hope. I want you to know that the world doesn't offer hope. The devil's a liar. He's still a liar. He doesn't change his tune. He plays the same lying, deceiving tune. The only hope is to go by this book and to live according to the Word of God. This is the main reason, so they might know to trust the God of this Bible. You know what they have their hope in? In government. That's what I'm renaming the Irish government. It's called the government. Actually, I was typing along, and I was typing this message, and I typed in government by accident. My spell checker says, you mean government? I went, no, I mean government. Because that's what people are trusting in. They're trusting what the government's going to give them. What new entitlement do they have? People, they get into a problem, they go to the government, they find out, oh, there's an entitlement for that. Cool. No. There's no entitlement you have. The only entitlement you have is to work. The entitlement you have is to take care of your responsibilities. Don't make the government give. That's why we're broke. Come on, some of you are getting quiet. Then you need to have hope in God, not in Enda Kenny. Amen. And the Kenny's made so many promises, you better start realizing he ain't going to keep them. He can't keep them. He said it to get elected, and you know that. So you're going to have to take a step back and say, is my hope up in Dublin, or is my hope in God? Amen. What a joke our modern government's on. The last 2 years should have taught people that we can't trust them. But they will learn. They will not learn. You better learn to trust in the Lord. Amen. Our children, the normal Joe on the street, needs to trust the God of this Bible. Not have hope in themselves. If it's not the government, They'll trust in themselves. They watch the television. They watch the psychobabble, the psychologists, and everybody's saying, look inside, find the inner hope, find the inner peace, find the inner strength. Let me tell you, it's not there. It's smoke and mirrors. You need God. You need to learn to pray. You need to learn it's okay to cry. You need to learn it's okay to give up and just lean on Him. New age inner power. Do you know they're all failures if they'd admit it? The only reason why they're not a failure is because I got suckers like you paying them. Ooh, did I hit somebody? The only reason why they're still on television is because suckers believe them. They know they're failures. They know they didn't help anybody. Don't you turn to some religious activity thinking spiritual meditations and pilgrimages and, well, I go to church. That doesn't do anything for you. Well, I say all my prepared prayers. I read selected portions of inspirational literature. You better trust in God. Religions have failed. Amen. We were talking to somebody yesterday, and he's a lot faster than I am. And this woman there, she said, I invited her out to church and tried to give her attraction. Oh, I'm not religious. And I said, okay, all right. I mean, she's pretty perturbed. So I'm walking away, and Nita said, you're supposed to say, neither are we. And I went, because we're not. We're not religious. We're not trying to do something. We're trying to follow someone. What's the difference? Jesus proved He was God. I don't have to prove nothing. I just got to follow Him, amen? You know, people need to trust the God of heaven and earth, who didn't have to, but He came into the form of man as a baby, and let religious people nail Him to a cross. And on that cross, He cried out, Father, forgive him and her and him and her and him and him. Forgive them. They know not what they do. That's the God you trust. At least you better. Secondly, so they would not forget the wonderful and fearful works of God. He says right there in verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. So chapter's review of the miraculous and wonderful works of God on behalf of us. This whole Bible is a continuous record of what God has done. We need to constantly be reminded how much we need God and how much He does for us on a moment-by-moment basis. If you're breathing, God's good to you. Amen. If you're married, it's a miracle. Amen. You don't deserve that person sitting next to you. Amen. They certainly don't deserve you. Amen. We need to be constantly reminded just how much we need God and how much He does for us. Thirdly, he goes on there still in verse 7. They might set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep His what? You know, God didn't write this book for His benefit. He wrote it for our benefit. He gave us laws and commands to protect us. Amen. They protect everybody. Aren't you glad that there's a book called The Rules of the Road? Can you imagine living in India? Do you know how they drive in India? You should watch. Is it like that in the Philippines? I understand in the Philippines is basically the same. Whoever gets there first wins, amen? Right side, left side, doesn't matter. Get ahead. Listen, I'm glad there are rules, amen? Speed limits. Seat belts. There are rules. Why do they give those rules? To make our life miserable, right? No, to protect us. Amen. God did the same thing. Do you want to know what life looks like when people ignore God's commandments? Look at the TV. Look at your children. I said, look at your children. That's the proof that without rules, it self-destructs. Every day. Look at the streets. Nobody, I was reading somebody talking about, you need to go to Dublin, you need to go to Temple Bar, but not at night. This was in a travel brochure. Just get out of Temple Bar by the night. That's what they said. That should be an embarrassment. Amen. Look at the music people are listening to. Even in David's day, it was the same. And I love the last look here, and it says, verse 8, and might not be as their what? Not be like their parents. You know, the statement there is, you know what? People need what I'm about to preach so that my kids are not like me. Not like I was. Amen. When I got saved, I remember my pastor preaching, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy life may be long on the earth. And he said, you know what? If you're disrespectful, if you're constantly mouthing off, if you're disobeying your parents, I don't care how wrong they are. You live in disobedience to them, you'll die young. Go right ahead. And I went, I'm doomed. And I determined from that day forth to honor my mom and my dad. My dad's not a Christian, but I honor him. I love him, and I will continue to honor him, praying for him to get saved. The idea is I want to live. Amen? Don't be like our parents were. Don't be like us. Folks, look at the last part there. Might not be as their fathers, a stubborn. Am I revealing what you're like? In rebellious generation? A generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God? I want my kids to be different than me. You know, my kids dress differently than I did when I was 15, 16, 17. I mean, it's embarrassing to watch kids just 5 years ago. But think 35 years ago. Remember, some of us had the belts. I had a belt that was probably that big, belt buckle. We had, what were some of the fads, man, back there? I mean, everybody's head looked like they plugged into a light socket. Nobody had tattoos, man. They, instead of tattooing their flesh, they tie-dyed their shirts, man. We were weird. But I didn't want to pass that on to my kids. And I definitely don't want to pass on my old stubbornness. I want people to know the praise of God and to follow and obey God like he deserves. Let's get to the message. Let's just look at a few things here. The things that I've determined, and that I hope you determine with me, that we're going to pass on to the next generation. Look at verse 9. He says, the children of Ephraim being armed, they had weapons and carrying bows. Watch what it says. Turned back in the day of battle. Is that a good thing? When they were armed and ready to fight, when they faced the battle, they said, no way, and they ran. They gave up, they quit. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his what? Folks, we need to pass on God's word. These guys, this tribe of Ephraim, there were 12 tribes, and one of them got ready to go into a fight. And they refused to walk in God's word. It's not that people don't have the Bible. It's that they're not interested in it. Amen? You know what my generation was? I was interested in God. I needed somebody to interrupt my life and get me interested in it. And you know what? The same's true with the next generation. Nisha needs me to stir her up and get her interested in that book. Or else she will, what does the verse say? She will refuse to walk in his law. By nature, that's what we do, don't we? We need to pass on a love for this book. I mean, honestly, that book needs to be closer to you than your pillow. That book needs to be closer to you than your wallet or your purse. You ever lose your purse? Not you, but you ever lose your purse? You'd never lose your purse. I know why, because she makes sure it's with her always, amen? You ever lose your wallet? You reach back there. How does your heart sink when you lose your wallet, gentlemen? I forget the wallet. What about your iPhone? You lose your iPhone, and I'm telling you, you're in trouble, right? Folks, listen to me. That book ought to be more important to you than anything else on this planet. I'm serious. That doesn't mean you need to wear it around your neck. But you do need to make that book important, and you need to make it important in your children's life. And I'm more and more convinced and convicted of this than I've ever been. You know what? You know what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:1? It says, I charge thee, Timothy, before the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou preach the word. Amen. Be instant in season and out of season. When it's popular and when it's not popular. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. For the time will come when the next generation will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Oh, scratch there. Oh, a little more. Oh, yes. That's what they want. And that's why people go to churches, why churches are popular, that just pamper people. Scratch their ears. I'm not here to scratch your ear. I try to be a blessing, but I aim to preach the word. Amen. Amen. Because that's what we need. I need to know what God says. He made me. He knows what's wrong with me, and he knows how to fix me. We keep teaching this book is perfect and pure, and it can fix anybody's life, anybody's home, and it can definitely fix your destiny. So we're going to keep giving Bibles away, amen? We're going to keep handing out tracts. We're going to keep pointing people to the very words of Scripture, because that's the only thing that'll fix the heart. I can talk and talk and talk, and it won't fix you, but that book will. Peter's watching everybody leave Jesus, and Peter looks right up at Jesus. Jesus is basically left alone. Thousands of people didn't get a free meal, so they walked away, and Jesus says to Peter, "You guys going to go away too?" And Peter says, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." We don't care if we eat or not. We just want to listen more to your word. Amen. Amen. Never mind what other people, other cities, and other countries are doing. This church is going to keep preaching the word and calling every generation to live by it. Our theme verse this whole year is, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." We want to live that book. Not only do we want to pass on God's word, and by the way, we don't change it just because we don't understand it. We don't adjust it just because it's hard to read. We just pass it on and says, "Get you a dictionary." Amen. Didn't your parents tell you that? You say, "What is this word?" You get to look it up in the dictionary. Remember that? That's the best thing. Learn for yourself. Second thing. God's works. Look down there in verse 11. "And forgat his" what? "They forgat his works and his wonders that he showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap." What waters? What is it that they were walking through? The Red Sea. They walked on dry land. Verse 13, "He divided the sea, caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap." 14, "In the daytime he also led them with a cloud, and at night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks, split the rocks in the wilderness, and gave them drink as out of great depths. He brought streams out also out of the rock, and caused waters to run down like rivers." Those are some amazing things. He split the Red Sea. He led Israel for 40 days with a cloud by day and a fire by night. It never moved. And when it did move, they followed it. Every other cloud went with the wind. This cloud, and it was a large cloud, by day it was just this beautiful, amazing pillar of a cloud. And at night, it was full of fire. And it stayed there. And it gave them like a night light. It gave them light at night. And it gave them direction by day for 40 years. That's an amazing miracle. Amen. God gave a million and a half people water out of an old dry rock. Amen. And he did it several times. He fed them with manna every morning. Look at verse 23. "Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them the corn of heaven." Man did eat what kind of food? Angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. You know how long he fed them every morning? 40 years. Your mother wouldn't do that. Pity her if she did. It's time for you to get out and get a job. Amen. But God fed them for 40 years. That's a wonderful work. Amen. He fed them with quail in the evenings. Verse 25, he goes on. "He manded eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven. And by his power, he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh now upon them as dust. And feathered fowls," it was quail, "as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat and were filled, and he gave them their own desire." I mean, good night. When was the last time you saw a bird flying along and then just fall right in front of you? And then another. They gathered up birds. And they had fried chicken. Well, chickens don't fly. Fried quail. Somebody says it tastes like chicken. I don't know. God fed them. He defeated the Egyptian Empire without a weapon. He kept their clothes and their shoes from wearing out. He defeated every army and enemy that attacked them on their way to the Promised Land. God did some wonderful works, didn't he? What are the wonderful things that God done that our children need to know about? Do you know, is God who created the world, not science? You listen to Richard Dawkins, you think that he was there in the Trinity. Quit allowing people to teach our children are only accidents. That's what they're learning in the schools. That's what they're learning on the television. You're an accident. You're a cosmic blob. The quirks of nature. Well, they're quirks, but not of nature, amen. Do you know, they need to learn that it was God who put the rainbow in the sky. They need to learn that it was God who gave you life and breath, not your parents only. They need to learn that God gave his only begotten son to save their soul, just like he saved yours. They need to learn that it was God who drew you to repentance. The greatest work is to bring you to the place where you need God.
Amen.
And if God could humble, and he did, Pharaoh, he's trying to humble you. It was God who called me to preach, to come to Cork. It was God who started this church 17 years ago. It was God who got your attention and convinced you to start coming out and to start hearing the preaching and the teaching of the Bible. It was God who gave you a perfect Bible, by the way. Amen. You didn't have to do nothing, just had to start reading it. Aren't you glad you don't have to learn Hebrew? Amen. It was God who saved your husband or your wife. It was God who answers your prayers. Psalm 103 is a great psalm to just read over and over. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness, who healeth all thy diseases. He just goes through and he lists all the things that God does for him. You need to read that about once a week. Remember, it's God who does it. What has God done in your life? I bet you could stand here, if you thought about it, if you're saved this morning, I bet you could stand here for 2 hours if you thought about it and start thinking about what God's done for you. I know I could. Then you need to pass that on to your children. You need to look at your kids. You need to look at the kids walking. Nita and I, we passed by 4 or 5 teenagers there yesterday. And I really didn't take the time. You know, you look back and you say, I should have just headbutted them verbally. and just gave it to them. Because they need to hear that there is a God. Because they don't believe it. Handed them all the tracts. I told them, I says, you need to read that. They just laughed and mocked. And they just went, the point being that they need to know there is a God. And one of these days they're going to face him. And they're not ready. They are not ready. This generation needs to hear the wonderful works of God. They need to know. Go down to verse 17. Verse 17, they needed to know the fear of God as well. Amen. Verse 17, and yet they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. Who do you provoke? Maybe you provoke your neighbor, and so they dump their rubbish over the fence. Oops, did that happen? Maybe you provoke your husband, or you provoke your kids, or maybe you provoke your mom. Maybe you provoke your boss, and that's why you're fired. I don't know. But you better start worrying about provoking God. They provoked him. Look at, they provoked the Most High while they were in the wilderness. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. To tempt means there they were pushing God. Pushing. You try it with a Garda. Garda pulls you over and says, can I see your license? You look at him and go, no. You're pushing him, aren't you? And you just say, I don't like the way you're talking to me. Just go ahead. Push the Garda. Go ahead. Amen? Are you listening? You see, when I grew up, I didn't provoke my dad. Amen. When you grew up, you didn't provoke your dad. But you let your kids push you and mock you and make fun of you and talk behind your back. You know, one of these days, you're going to realize that's what they're doing to God. And they don't care about it. We better be very aware we're making him upset. Amen. The children of Israel got out there and they complained and they murmured and they whinged and they whined and God said, I've had it. Amen. You see, maybe you had a rough growing up and your dad was too mean or too abusive. Maybe your mom was too mean or too abusive. I don't know. But you better worry about God because he's right. Verse 19, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wrathful, so that a fire was kindled against Jacob, and his anger also came up at Israel, because they believed not in God. They trusted not in his salvation. Verse 31, the wrath of God came upon them and slew... Some of you need to be worried about this. The fattest of them. The ones who seem to have everything. And he smote down the chosen men of Israel And for all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity and emptiness, and their years in trouble. People don't fear God. People think it's wrong to fear things. I don't preach fear, Brother Ledbetter. Did you know the smartest person in this room is afraid of some things? Amen. Don't you say, oh, we need to get rid of fear. What? An idiot, a literal idiot, doesn't fear anything. Amen. You need to fear some things. We don't think sins matter anymore. You better start fearing the fact you sin secretly, privately, it's going to be exposed. It will be. Do you know your swear words, your filthy words, your lying words are as wicked as hell? You say, well, I don't hurt anybody. You're hurting him. You take his name. I don't even like to repeat what I hear people say. It hurts him. Pushes him. If all I did was I said, Austin, I hate Austin. Stupid Austin. Oh, Austin. He's to blame for everything. Austin knows I'm making fun and it's a joke. But what if I was serious and I spread it all over Ballincollig so that Austin walks around everywhere and everybody looks at, there's Austin. He's the problem. You'd get upset. I got to go deal with Ledbetter. Ledbetter spreading things about me. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's why people don't trust and love God, because Christians are joining with the world and talking like the world, and we're not lifting up Jesus Christ. We're actually using the same language, and it's wicked as hell. This modern day, eyes are full of adultery on the internet and in the movie channels. You know, what you watch is as wicked as hell. You better watch what you're watching. Amen. Amen. That's why God gave you a wife. Amen. So she'd punch you when you put her on the wrong channel. Amen. Amen. What are you looking at? Amen. Do you know stealing is still just as wicked as it was when you were a kid? Amen. And yet nobody thinks about stealing. They think, the boss will never miss it. Oh, so-and-so will never miss it. Bowing before an idol, bowing before a statue is still wicked as the devil, because God is not, and angels and people in heaven are not wrapped up in a statue. God said you bow down to them, you are punishing your children to the third and fourth generation. You're bringing a curse on them. You better worship God in spirit and in truth, not with statues. God said it's wicked. Do you know when you're too busy to pray and too proud to obey God, guess what? You're as wicked as the devil. Amen. You need to fear God. Sins are serious. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Let me add a word. It's still death. You see, you mess with sin and it'll kill you. Amen. Why don't you go play with a gun? Just go ahead. Make sure it's loaded. You play with that, somebody's going to die. Amen. You play with dynamite, get you a match, somebody's going to die. Amen. You play with sin, it may not be you hurting right now, but somebody will hurt because of your provoking God, thinking it doesn't matter. We need to pass that on to our kids. Our children need to fear God. Our children need to, when they're on the internet, when they're on the television, mom and dad don't need to be there when they're 25 years old, and they need to go, that is not to be watched. Amen. We need to pass that on to them. It's up to our generation to pass that fear on to the next generation. I want people to love God. I want people to enjoy God, but without proper fear of pushing God too far, our children and the generation today will only experience the wrath of Almighty God. What did John the Baptist say just before Jesus got baptized? He said, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Because it was coming. People mock God. People are wondering if God is really the God of the Bible. We better get back to reminding this generation just how faithful God is. God does get angry, amen? Look at verse 29. I already read that. Look at verse 36. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. Oh, they lied unto him with their tongues. Their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in the covenant. But he, being full of compassion, aren't you glad? He forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away. You know, if God could just roll back the invisible wall between us and eternity, and us and where and heaven. And if we saw just how many times He didn't act when he could have. When he could have just said, that's it. And he turned from it. It's because of his compassion. He forgave their iniquity. He destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and he didn't stir up his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh. They were a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back. They wanted to go home, back to Egypt. And they tempted God, and they limited. You ought to underline these words. The Holy One of Israel. They limited God. Do you know God's trying to do something in your life, and you may be stopping him. Don't you blame me. Don't you blame your wife. Don't you blame the economy. God doesn't need the economy. Amen? He just needs you to be broken and let him do something where you say, I don't want to upset you. Amen. There's another thing that I want to pass on to the next generation. And that's God's ways. Do you know God has a way of doing things? It's different than anything that, you know, guys who work with me, Dan had to learn my ways, didn't you? Yeah. He's from New Jersey. And that's, they're already weird and different. And so he's working with me. John had to learn my ways of doing things, didn't you? Amen. Amen. Do you know God has some ways of doing things? And yet we want God to do things our way. Do you know God has a way that we're supposed to worship him, and it's his way, not our way. Well, I just worship him my way. Are you a fool in any other area? I've had Americans tell me, well, when I'm out fishing, I'm worshiping God my way. No, you're not. You're a rebel. Well, I don't have to go to church to worship God. No, you don't have to go to church to worship God. You have to go to church to obey God. Right. Amen. Amen. That's right. Well, I'm worshiping God my way. I'm watching the God Channel. You're wasting your money and your time. Because that man, that woman does not love you, doesn't even know you. I know you. Amen. And I still love you. I give my right arm, my left arm, I give my life for you. Amen. Because we're family. This is different. God has a way that we worship, and this is the way. You say, this is worship? Well, it's getting us ready to worship. See, you get your heart right, then you can worship him as you're going home, while you're doing the wear, while you're mowing the grass. You can worship him then. Right now, you need to get your heart right, and that's what we need. It's God's ways. My thing is to get you to learn to pray instead of punch. Get you to pray instead of gripe and complain. Get you on your knees instead of punching the wall and giving out and giving up. Amen. That's God's way. God says, shut up. I'll do the fighting. Amen. You just trust me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In other ways, do it his way, and he shall direct thy paths. Do you know there's a way of talking to him? Don't you dare pick up one of these prayer books and say, well, I'm going to read this prayer. Talk to him from your heart. That's how he likes it. God has a way of raising our children. He expects us to do it his way. Amen. He has a way of staying married, by the way. The world doesn't know how to keep you married. God does. How to keep from killing your children. I've been looking that one up lately. God has a way. There, what are the ways that we're supposed to do things? By faith. By faith. You start to do it where you just trust God. Amen. You know, when you came to church, you didn't know what you're going to get. That's faith. Amen. You say, as long as it's in the Bible, I'm just going to trust God. Amen. What may seem foolish is God's way. Amen. A Texan coming to Ireland is crazy. Amen. It was God's way. Amen. And doing the opposite of what seems natural. Somebody says, well, I'm naturally a piano player. Good. Good. Sing in the choir. I don't have a voice. But we need some. I'm just telling you, sometimes God may impress on you to do something that you say, well, I'm more naturally. Good. Amen. But God has no need for natural success. He just needs you. And he'll put you in the most unlikely situation so that he gets all the glory. Amen? That's God's way. Are you doing it? God's, oh, that the next generation would decide early to live God's way. Worshiping Jesus instead of only talking about, well, I'm not happy. Well, I don't get what I want. You know, we'll change our world. We'll change our world. We'll change this generation. Not because we keep adapting and we keep changing so that they like us. No. If we just keep preaching this book and we keep going by the same old stuff that we did the first Sunday I preached. Amen. Guess which Bible I preached from on the first Sunday in June when I started the church? The King James Bible. Guess what? Be the Bible I preached the last time I preached before I go home to heaven. A King James Bible. That's what we're going to do. Amen. God's ways. Something else. I want to pass on God's will. Because I don't think there's anything greater than doing God's will. How many of you got a problem with your own will? Ah, you're all lying. Come on, put your hands up. We all got problems with our will. Amen. Amen. You know what, God? God knows what's ahead of you. He knows what he designed you for, and he knows where he's taking you. And yet we fight it. We resist his will, and we end up limiting his blessings upon our lives. I'm here to tell you, his will works. You better ask him, Lord, who should I marry? Marry the one he designed for you. Amen. Can you imagine Adam waking up going, nah, I like the giraffe. Amen. Come on. God knows what you need. God knows the person that's right for you. Probably you won't like her. Amen. Because she'll be just what you need. You need to fulfill his design for your career. You know, everybody's finishing up their leaving cert and they're preparing for college. They're trying to settle their design. What am I supposed to do? What am I going to do? What course am I going to take? Why don't you pray and ask God? Do you know what? Being a missionary is still an awesome high calling. Do you know, preaching the gospel is still the greatest privilege. I would never step down to be Taoiseach because it'd be a low step. Amen. I still believe in starting churches. I still believe in teaching Sunday school. You say, can you make any money doing it? I don't know. Why don't you try? Why don't you just trust God and say, I'm just talking about some spiritual things. They used to call them vocations. I'm talking about the will of God. Amen. Hey, the will of God wants you to be a Taoiseach. Amen. Maybe, you know what, there's a homosexual sitting there trying to become president of Ireland. We need some competition against that guy. We need a Christian who will get up there and believe that book and stand up there and, yes, care about everybody, but will stand by some convictions, amen, and who will get up there and will protect our children, will protect this country, and will sell it out. Amen. You say, you're not allowed to talk politics. Are you kidding? Because Christians have been quiet, they're taking over. I don't fight them. I'm not here to fight them fistful, but I will fight them with the truth. And I'll stand in this church is going to be light, and we're going to speak what's right. So the people conclude and go, you know what? God is a better way. Amen. God may want you to be an astronaut. God may want you to be a cancer research scientist. Praise God. But ask God what he wants you to be. And then fulfill that because God's will. I want to pass on that me doing this because it's God's will is the greatest thing I could ever do. I get to have more fun than you'll ever have because I'm in the middle of God's will. Amen. Verse 4, back in Psalm 78, the last thing. Last thing I want to pass on to my children and to the next generation of this church, Psalm 78, verse 4, we will not hide them, these things from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. If you see me enjoying myself in church, I was sitting next to Mona there, and she had little Joseph in her hand. And sometimes I forget little babies are nearby. And I'll say, amen! And that little kid went, I just enjoy being in church. Amen. You may enjoy going to the football match. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead, man. But I enjoy being in church. And if you hear me singing louder than anybody else, it's because I'm not trying to show off. It's because I just love singing. Amen. If you see Jim singing, pull away. Not at all. You know what? I want my kids to see me more happy here Because they see parents more happy in the pub. They see parents more happy in front of that filthy television. They see parents more happy with a beer can in their hand or a bottle in their hand or with their buddies who are ungodly and unsaved. They see happiness everywhere else but in church. Doesn't that speak something? I want to pass on God's praise. I want our kids, they go into Sunday school. I want when they come back out, they may sense you've been beat up. They may sense that you've been worked over and somebody's made your life miserable for an hour. But they need to go, wow, they're different. There's a smile cracking through Dad's lips. Amen. Because we've gotten our hearts right and we want to pass on praise to our children. Isn't it wonderful when they affect us? Used to be, dads used to affect their kids. Now we worry about, oh, our children, they make my life so meaningful. Oh, my child, that's the center of my life. You idiot. You are the center of their life. The glory of children are their fathers, not the other way around. Let's have that influence again. Let's show them what joy is. You can say amen in church, amen. You know, when we sing, I love the old Bible, you ought to be up there waving it going, and your kid's looking at you going, woo, he loves the old Bible. Amen. Let's pass on God's praise. You don't want to have a zoo. I'm not saying have a zoo, okay. Don't want to have a bunch of zombies either. But a place full of joy and passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. God's praise. Conclusion. Let's finish this up. We must never forget where we came from and how we got to where we are. Let's never forget that. We came from humble beginnings, didn't we? And we're proud of it. Amen. We started with nothing. And at the end of the day, if we have anything, it's because of God. I'm not trying to accumulate things. We're still renting. Maybe one of these days we'll be able to buy a building. Don't know. But if we don't, I don't have a building I want to pass on. I have a heritage. I have a godly heritage. I have things I want to pass on to the next generation. I want the people who are visiting here to realize this is real. This is what we do every week. And I want it to be passed on for years to come. We're never going to get out of fashion. We're never going to go, well, you know, Pastor, he's going to move on and finally get a Hawaiian t-shirt and shorts and sandals. And when he's up there on his little stool and drum set over here, worship team over there. You'll never see it. No, you can dream and wish that would happen. It's not going to happen because we know what we got. And we're going to pass on this, what you see right here. Amen. You can't improve on this because it's the truth. We have so many great memories. We're going to go over them some tonight. We're going to let people just give their testimony. Remember what it was like coming into church. I think still, first time you come into church, I think some of you, I hope you got a blessing. I hope you realize this is what we're like. We're just real. We love God and we like to try and love you. But we have a great responsibility to pass on more than just those memories. We want to pass on in awe of God. I mean, when we pick up that Bible and we're listening to God. When somebody's preaching from behind this pulpit, we'll listen to God's word. When we're praying, we're talking to Almighty God, and He hears us and He wants to answer our prayer. We want to pass that on to our children. Why? Because the people in the next generation are prone to move on, aren't they? And they quickly forget some very important things from the past. And they move on with life. They've got the iPhone, they've got the iMac, they've got everything Apple. They've got everything going on. You wonder, do they even know God? I wonder. I wonder if the kids in this room know God. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why Graham and Gina, they work a normal job, and then they in the evenings, they prepare. They're just one part of a large group of Sunday school teachers, and they're trying to get those kids to know God, to know that the God that did all those wonderful things in the Old Testament and in the life of Jesus is there for them too. More than they need mommy and daddy, more than they need the government, more than they need anything else in this world, they need to know Jesus and trust Him. So be sure to pass on these things. See, I hold on dearly. I hold on to God's word. You're not taking that from me. I'm passing that on. We get the kids to memorize scripture. We want to review God's works. I want to be able to stand up and tell you, God's constantly working on me, and even more so today than ever before, trying to do a work in my heart and my life. I want to pass on God's fear. You need to fear God, folks. And your kids need to see that you fear God. You need to do things God's way. Always yielding to God's will. And just capping it off, just giving God praise. You think that'd be a good home? You think that'd be an awesome church? You think that'd be a great community? Great Ballincollig or Cork? Somebody wrote and said, I think Tullamore is going to be the Bible Belt of Ireland. I don't know why they said that. I wrote back and I said, scratch that, Cork is.
Amen.
I just believe it. Folks, it all begins with repentance. God cannot do a work in you and cannot show you how great he is until you look at the cross and see where it began. It began for your sin. It begins in your life where you have a sorrow for sin. Not where you just say, oh, let's get over it. Yeah, you can get over it once you're forgiven. Have you been forgiven? Have you known that the man who died on that cross loved you as if you were the only person on this planet? And he loved you enough to take the beating. We reviewed it several weeks ago. Everything that he went through, that 18 hours starting in the Garden of Gethsemane all the way to the cross, 18 hours of torment and torture and crucifixion, the whole process is to break you and let you see you cannot compete with that. You cannot do better than that. If you want to go on and go to hell, you're doing it in the face of him. You're doing it when he did everything to keep you from going to hell. And if you walk out of here and you're still trusting your religion, you're still trusting your prayer life, you're still trusting your mother's religion and your grandmother, you're still trusting in the church or the priest or the pastor, you're still trusting in science, I'm going to tell you, he proves to you that it will not work. Only he saves.
Amen.
And he'd like to save you this morning. I sat in a church for 7 weeks. I was invited out to church and I was glad I did. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed somebody talking to me straight up. But after 7 weeks, the penny dropped and I realized, whoa, I haven't even started. I haven't even been born again. I got me a Bible. I was reading it. I was in church. But I was still going to hell. And I didn't need to go up to God and say, hey, God, you want me? He proved he wanted me. He wanted to know, did I want him? Amen? He wanted to know, did I want him? I don't want a genie in my back pocket. God wants to be Lord of your life, and he begins with salvation, sorrow for sin, asking only Jesus. Don't you dare find you a saint. Don't you dare find a priest. Don't you dare come to me and say, I've sinned. Can you forgive me? No way, Jose. He's the only one that can forgive. And to believe that he can save your soul from hell. You need to believe that you're going to hell. Say, do I deserve hell? Yep. Yep. You don't deserve heaven. But Jesus will make you fit for heaven. Amen? Jesus will. And then you need to decide to follow him from now on. I made a decision 31 years ago. I will follow him. I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you? Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed.